Katrina threatened not only black culture in New Orleans, but the future of the entire community. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Alfonso Jackson recently said, quote, New Orleans is not going to be as black as it was for a long time, if ever again. Jackson echoed local, state, and federal officials involved in the cleanup. Many low-income black evacuees may not have the money to move back to New Orleans or find a place to call home. But writer Naomi Klein told Ed Gordon that more can and should be done to return the storm's poorest victims to their city.
You have a very interesting article in The Nation titled Purging the Poor from New Orleans, and you talk about whether or not we at this current time have the ability to get some of these evacuees back in and literally house them, not in a month, not in a year, but today.
Yeah, and it's actually much more possible than anyone's really admitting, and that I had previously thought. I'd been doing some research about what was going on in New Orleans before Katrina and what the sort of hot debates were at the time. And so what I found is that in New Orleans, the tense issues were around access to affordable housing. New Orleans has a very, very high vacancy rate, particularly in the wealthier areas of the city. For instance, I was staggered to find out that the French Quarter, which, as we know, wasn't really that affected by Katrina, had a vacancy rate, and this is before Katrina, of 37%. So I looked at all the areas that the mayor, Ray Nagin, has said are inhabitable, and he said that there are around 180,000 people who can return to those areas. And so what I did is I went to the most recent census, and I compared the vacancy rates to those areas that he said are inhabitable, and I found that there were actually 11,000 empty housing units that are in those dry areas, which means rather than putting people into trailer camps, which is what's happening now in remote areas without transportation, without security, with much less effort and I think less public spending, these vacant apartments, and I want to stress they were vacant before the hurricane, mm-hmm. could be upgraded and then subsidized with Section 8 vouchers, and people could move into them.
So with that equation, if you look at those houses, included the number of the same kind of houses in Jefferson Parish, you could talk to, when you talk about multiple occupants, housing up to about 70,000 people.
Right, and that's a conservative estimate. In Jefferson Parish, which has also been declared inhabitable, and in these dry areas of New Orleans, we came up with a conservative figure of 23,000 empty units, and then averaged that in each of those units, these are apartments and houses, there could be three people living in them. And once again, that's conservative because FEMA is telling families of seven that they can move into a trailer. So we're saying three people per housing unit could house very quickly 70,000 evacuees. And the reason why I think it's important to talk about this is that when I was in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge recently, I talked to people who were living in the housing shelters, and it's predominantly poor African Americans who are in these shelters who are now being told that they should move into trailers. And they're using words like ethnic cleansing to describe what they feel is happening in New Orleans.
So there is a reality here that says that the owners, the landlords of these establishments, these units, are simply boarding up rather than opening up and allowing people to utilize the space at perhaps, in their mind, below market standard.
Right. I mean, and that, for instance, in the French Quarter, the calculation that's been made by landlords there is that they get so much from the commercial rents that it's cheaper for them to just board up their second floors than it is to lower the rent and make those second floors accessible to the residents of New Orleans. But that's where the federal government can come in, because they're spending huge amounts of money giving it to companies to build these trailer parks. So there are subsidies being handed out to the private sector, and it's just a question of what kind of subsidies they're going to be, because these rents can be subsidized so that the landlords get the full market value at whatever it's determined to be of those vacant apartments.
Well, the numbers are interesting, and while there would be another side of the argument that would suggest that America is a free trade society, and if one feels as though they're going to lose money in the long run, the American way is sometimes to opt out. You would say what to that argument?
I don't see much free market, genuine free market, going on in these solutions. I see massive taxpayer subsidies going to the private sector. And I think if taxpayer money is going to be handed out to the private sector, then then people should be more involved in those decisions. And I think there's a great deal of discomfort with the amount of corporate welfare going to Bush-connected firms right now.
Well, the article is Purging the Poor from New Orleans. It's in The Nation, and the author is Naomi Klein. She joins us today, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.